You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practice Show. My name is Kirk Barrett, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. And I know if you own a practice, you're like, hey, Kirk, it's not that easy running this practice anymore because hiring is hard. You know hiring is hard. There isn't a single practice in the country that would say hiring is easy, or there's not a single business in the country that would say hiring is easy. And so we all need solutions for this big challenge. And I've got my good friend Robin Rees on today from Bent Erickson, who's been a trusted resource. If you guys joined us in the COVID conference, you know she was our go-to. Like, we were losing our minds. I didn't even know what some of these terms were, and she would jump on and save us. And today we're going to be talking about how we're going to think outside of the box as a dentist when it comes to hiring. Now, this is a really important one because, you know, as a dentist, your greatest asset is not your CBCT or your location or your billboard or your clinical skills. It's the people around you, and finding the right people, putting them in the right seats, changes your life. And how we have to think about this is more difficult. Well, not difficult. It was just challenging more than ever. And so, Robin, thanks for being with us today. Now, a lot of the people, 38,000 of the people that are going to watch this or listen to this because you were just a trusted resource for us during the COVID conference know exactly who you are. But I really like for our listeners to know who Robin Rees is. First of all, tell them who you are, and then tell them what Bent Erickson does, and tell them why it's so important to listen today.
Awesome. Kirk, thanks so much for the invitation to be here today. As you said, my name is Robin Rees, and I am a HR consultant and personalization specialist with Bent Erickson and Associates. And I've been in dentistry since, oh gosh, I'm going to date myself, 1998. And I have just fallen in love with this wonderful profession. And because I love working with people, it was a natural migration to work with Bent Erickson. They are based out of Eugene, Oregon, and we are an employment compliance and human resource company that has been helping dental practices across the U.S. For over 35 years. And what we do is we help basically dentists stay out of jail for both employment compliance and hiring. So we make sure that they are doing the right things. And we personalize employee manuals for each practice based upon their state and their number of employees. So we make it really, really customized to them and what their vision and values are. And as you well know, that really is what drives the dental practice. And that's what I love about Bent Erickson and the HR specialists at headquarters that really know what they're doing and follow all the employment laws so that dentists don't have to, that they get to do what they do best, and that's dentistry.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the why before the how, because the why is really important. Employment law is not something to joke with anymore. You know, you do need a trusted resource. And this whole, like, we had dental practices that did strange things during COVID. Now you're hiring them back. And let's talk about why it's so important to think outside of the box. Now, I'm just a dental practice coach, and I see this, and we can talk hiring is hard, but you get to see the inside of it and really how, why is it so important for us to think outside of the box as a dentist more than ever?
Well, I can tell you just from prior experience, pre-plague, if you will, what it was really hard to begin with anyway. You had to be really mindful about the ads you're writing, what you were promoting, but you had a really good chance of finding a qualified dental person to fill in for dental hygienist, front office, assistant, treatment coordinator, whatever it might be. Post-plague, we have discovered that there was a tremendous amount of exodus of people that just didn't want to return to the profession. And that created such a tsunami of openings that we just, you know, supply and demand. There wasn't enough inventory for the dental practices to find qualified dental people that have the skills and knowledge that a lot of practices are looking for, because it's that catch 22. You want somebody who's qualified, but you're down two or three people, so you don't have the resources to train a non-dental person. So we always have talked about the adage of hire for attitude, train for skill. Well, we're finding that it is extraordinarily hard to find those skilled dental people, number one, but then to find the attitude and the behavior and the person who's, you know, pumping sunshine, they then don't have the training resources at the dental practice to actually, you know, train the technical, the terminology, right. The basic skills of the position. So it was hard before, it's even more hard now. So employing different strategies and thinking outside the box, such as, you know, gosh, having a conversation with your mail person nowadays is not unusual in looking for a dental personnel. The typical job boards, especially around the holidays, they tend to kind of get slower because people are of the mindset that, oh, during the holidays, you know, people aren't going to be recruiting. They want to wait for the holiday party. They want to wait for the holiday bonus, whatever it might be, before they make a change. And I have found that that is a great time to stay active and present out in the recruitment world so that the right candidate might see your post at the right time.
Yeah. Now go back to the catch 22, because that is extremely real. I would actually call it the catch 22 and slippery slope, you know, and I got a text. I don't have my phone right next to me, but I got a text from a phenomenal female dentist who is like, okay, can you just tell me what's going on in the market of dental assisting? Like, I think I found a good one that has amazing skills, and she's like, it's crazy what they're asking for now, only because they think they might be able to. What would you say? Now I'm introducing a big challenge here. Now, you don't have to come up with a wonderful answer, but help me unpackage that. Is that common? Are we seeing some of that? What would you even say to that?
That is definitely a trend, Kirk, that we're noticing for any position. And I'll just say, you know, if the position was traditionally a $20 an hour position, administrative or dental assisting, we're finding that candidates are asking on average for about a $10 to $12 increase. So they're now asking for $30, $32 for what a $20 an hour position was traditionally. And they are discovering that, yeah, practices are willing to pay for it because there's such a shortage. Now, you know, can the practice afford that? Can you negotiate? Of course. I would absolutely not walk into or make a commitment to a new hire of a high wage if you're not comfortable and your practice numbers don't support it. And be willing to negotiate, especially if they say that they have experience in a prior dental office. What we have found is, you know, there are no apples to apples in dental practices, as you well know. You work with the best of the best, and that is much different than somebody who is maybe insurance driven or has a lot of high turnover or does scheduling differently. So, right. not only do you have to worry about, you know, if they say they have 5 years in a dental practice, keep in mind they have 5 years in a other dental practice, not yours. So still the training, the onboarding is so important in helping make that new hire a success.
Yeah, this is so interesting, you know, because people like to give themselves an upgrade from their previous position. You know, I was an office manager and I ran the entire practice. And then you find out later they were just like, they just did hygiene scheduling. So, and I don't want to taint the environment or, you know, like just make people feel bad about this. That's not the whole point. The fact is that we've got to just know what questions to ask. The environment is a little bit different. And then when you say catch 22, skill versus attitude, I mean, in the end, what would be your advice? Because I'm of the opinion core values matter first, no matter what, no matter how skilled they are, because you're not good, you know. So that's one thing. I feel like we can train anybody if they have the things that we can't train for the most part. I mean, is that true anymore or not true in some respects?
It's totally true. And absolutely, I would say if you have the resources to devote and onboard this new hire in your way of doing things and teach them the technical, absolutely, I would choose that over, you know, a skilled person any day if the vision and the values are aligned.
Right.
What you find too, and you brought up a couple of things for me, is, you know, talking about verifying former references. Like you said, you know, some, of course you want to always keep stepping up, right? When you change positions. So you want to find, if you don't feel that you're bringing value to your current practice and you want to make a choice, of course employees should ask for more and always back that up with experience. But most importantly for the employers, for the dentist, is double check those references. 85%, it's jumped, 85% of resumes are now have some form of falsification on their resume, be it in salary or responsibility or title. Because you're right, people will tend to embellish a little bit, make themselves sound good to get the interview. But when you're ready to make that hire, make that offer, then I would absolutely make sure that you're double checking references and doing a background check. Because as you've said on numerous occasions, Kirk, you know, you can trust, but verify.
Oh yeah. It's amazing how we don't do background checks in dentistry, but yet I've got a friend who owns a juicing company. And if you run a forklift or anything, I mean, there's a script pad in your office and it's crazy and millions of dollars coming in, but we won't do a background check. That just takes a little bit verifying. And this is why we're talking out of the box. One of the things that we've learned, I don't care who taught, I think you made, is video submission. So now we don't even interview people unless they can create a 60-second video about why they'd be good and send it to us. If you can't pick up your phone, press record and send, then we're not going to interview you. Another thing is to account for where they've been for the last 5 years. Like a lot of people like to say, well, I didn't really work for 2 years. And then you found out they did work for 2 years and they just didn't want to list it on there. So I think what you're saying is incredibly important. Now go back to this. When we talk about getting creative and salary, like you're looking for the right person for the right seat. And then you mentioned before we hit the go button, like dentists are really thinking, like you don't have to, it's not always in dollars. Sometimes they're looking at benefits, right? There's other ways you can think outside of the box when it comes to employment of new or existing people, right?
Absolutely. And get creative. You know, it doesn't have to be in the dollars. And if the practice can't support the dollars, then get creative maybe in investing in their continuing education, helping them learn a new skill, a new technique, you know, benefits. A lot of people will ask for medical benefits. And if it's not something that your practice has considered in the past, you may want to look into your local dental association, dental society. Yes, you have to be a member. And you know, you can find that there are some plans that can be more affordable than you think. And if that's not an option for you, then think of ways that you can support this new team member to, you know, not from a dollar standpoint, in an hourly wage, but maybe you set benchmarks. Maybe it's, you know, pay to play, right? So you set up benchmarks and you say, hey, if we set this goal and you guys can help us achieve it, then this is the reward. It's not about that expected bonus that becomes, you know, just something that, okay, well, if we hit so many new patients, we're going to get a bonus. Or if we hit so many whitening cases that we sold, we're going to get a bonus. It truly is, again, going back to your vision and your values, what is going to really make the most impact and what's going to be meaningful. And when your values align with your new hire, it is so important that you make sure that they understand that and know that in the first 90 days. So you want to make sure that when you bring on somebody into this new team or a new team for them, but your existing team, there's chemistry already. So you want to make sure that that person is the right person. We have found, and research has shown, that 69% of employees that had a structured onboarding program that reinforced why they chose to work for this practice, why it was important that they, you know, got the package that they got, why that they made this choice to join this practice again, they stayed an average of 3 years or longer. Wow. So a structured onboarding program is really important when we're talking about bringing somebody new in, especially if they're non-dental. There are so many resources out there that can help help you train a non-dental person. So again, going back to that catch 22, if you're going to commit to finding that awesome person who doesn't have dental experience, make sure you set up this training program that will support not only their hands-on immersing themselves into the training on site, but also maybe off time. Maybe you set aside an hour or so that they do get to do training so that you still get to build that connection, that relationship, and help onboard this person so that they're going to stay.
Yeah, that's really important data that you're bringing up. I mean, 69% with an onboarding process and up to 3 years. Guys, I'm just telling you, if you're listening, like that's really important data, because if you find the right person, you want them to stick in your practice. Now, go back to, there's a storm looming. And you and I were talking about the storm looming is, you know, you got some good people and we're a little short in one role. So you got some people doing double duty. And there are some things you need to understand from an HR standpoint when you're caught in that, the beginning of that storm. You can feel that storm brewing. What would I need to know about that storm that's brewing, Robin?
Well, you know, something I heard recently is transparency is a foundational principle of leadership, right? So it is staying in conversation with your team members who are short-staffed. You might have one or two positions that are open that you're recruiting for. Hygiene is the hardest position right now across the board. Dental assisting is number two, and three would be a front office or administrative position. So knowing that if your dental assistant is assisting, but also helping out the front, you know, at the front desk, A, you want to make sure that you're not bumping up against any wage and hour laws. So anything over 40 hours in a work week, 7 day work week for non-exempt employees, they're entitled to time and a half, that overtime premium. You want to make sure that when you are recruiting, that you have a job description that is compliant, that outlines really the soft skills and the hard skills of what you're looking for, so that if you do have to say goodbye, if you do have to set someone free, that there is a clear understanding of, you know, why it's not working, because the expectations were set up front. You know, we also have to be really mindful of that burnout. And burnout for your existing employees. So checking in, helping them with self-care, giving them a spa day, or giving them just an hour off to go home early or come in late, that really goes a long way. Showing appreciation is, again, so key to keeping teams moving forward, wanting to get up and come to work every day, because I'm sure you've seen it. I've seen it on restaurants and regular stores saying, hey, half our team didn't show up today, so please be patient with those that did. And, you know, that is true in every industry, dentistry included. You know, we are working really, really hard to take care of our patients. And sometimes they have to wait a little bit longer. And sometimes our team has to work a little bit longer. So we want to make sure that just keeping the mental and physical health of our team, you know, present and acknowledged and appreciate it will definitely go a long way. I mean, appreciation goes a long way no matter what.
Yeah. And the clarity behind this is critically important. See, one of the things I learned from you is that the job description and the ad are not the same thing. You know, people are like, oh, I have a job description. No, that you wrote an ad. That's not the same thing as a job description. Or when you talk about that expectation, they should have really, I've heard this line, clear line of sight on how to succeed so they're not guessing. And you know that any lack of clarity usually ends up becoming a conflict. That usually ends up becoming a crisis. I mean, one of the things that's essential as a dentist is you've got to have some of the basics written in as far as what you could expect as a team member, from benefits to hours to days. And that's just the basic stuff. Like, that's 101. So if you don't have that, you got to get that done. And then, you know, you, again, go back to that one piece, because I think that's really, people come to work in a dental office. And if you're a dentist, you know this is over. You say, oh, I'm so happy to have you here. Come on in, go. And you, as a team member, say, go where? And the dentist goes, go to your spot, you know, like an assistant, or go up to the front, because I got to go work on patients. And you're like, there's no clarity here. Like, what am I supposed to do? And the team member figures it out on the fly. There's always potential challenges with that. And look, we're not asking you to be perfect, but at least give the team members some kind of a start in how they could succeed in the practice. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's part of the onboarding and having, you know, benchmarks. And I think, you know, we've talked about 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, right? Those benchmarks and checking in, hey, you know, where are you? How's it going? Because you can head off some significant problems early on if you know about it. And again, that goes back to what did the ad say? What kind of people did you attract? Was the job description given to the person? And did they say to themselves, yeah, I could totally do this. I can't do those two things, but that's something I want to learn. And that really gives them excitement to want to learn something new. But, you know, helping them master what you want them to do and what you hired them for. I mean, there's so many times that the disconnect is, well, I thought I hired this person to do this, but they're not doing that. And the question becomes is, well, why not? And it's because, well, they didn't have a training buddy. They didn't have direction. They weren't given expectations on this is what you need to do. And the response is always, yeah, but they've been a dental assistant or a front office person for 10 years. Why do I have to tell them what to do? Well, it's not the task. It's really about, you know, aligning with that vision. And what is it that they have to do to be a successful dental assistant in your practice or a front office person in your practice? I just encountered that the other week. This is the third person that has come in to a practice and has not worked out. And so where's the common denominator?
Right. Right. Now, because you're our resident expert and I know nothing about this, I'm just going to dish you challenges that we get. And I don't know what to say. Like, it's not our area of expertise, the whole vaccination thing. Like, this is extremely complex, more than I think we can even get our brains around. So what do I say to a dentist, or what would you say to a dentist listening about the vaccination thing? I've had dentists ask me, I'm like, this is not my area. Can I even ask? So can you just explain what's going on in the world and what are some best practices that you would say to a dentist when it comes to the vaccination question?
Awesome. And my disclaimer is this is not legal advice,
right?
As you well know. And, you know, certain states have certain requirements. So this is very general and broad. And it really is, you know, the dentist has their foot in two different camps, one as the employer and the responsibility to their employees, and then the other foot in the other camp, which is the dental provider and wanting to honor a patient's request. So let's talk about the employer camp. So as an employer, you are bound by law not to disclose medical information about your employees to other employees or to anybody else. So vaccination status is part of an employee's medical record. So you cannot outright say, oh, Sally at the front office, yeah, she's vaccinated, you're fine. Or, you know, Mary, the hygienist, is vaccinated, you're fine. You can't say that to a patient. You can't say that to another team member. Now, obviously, a lot of team members are very, you know, interconnected and very personal and very transparent with one another. So for the most part, I'm going to guess that most employees know that their team members are vaccinated or not. And so the beauty of being in dentistry is because we've always been on the forefront of infection control. So, you know, following the proper PPE, and some practices are still, you know, a step above with the barriers and the extra shields and things like that. Some states have relaxed their requirements, others haven't. And some states have required vaccination for medical personnel or healthcare personnel, including dentists. And so, you know, this kind of is trumped by that. But when for those offices that aren't under a mandate or a state required vaccination policy, you have to honor your employee's medical history by not divulging that to a patient. What you can say to the patient, and if the employee chooses to say, I'm vaccinated, that's on them. That's their personal thing. They can disclose that to the patient if that will make them feel comfortable and if they have a good relationship. But if a patient calls and says, hey, I only want to be scheduled with somebody who's vaccinated, and you've got three hygienists, two are vaccinated, one isn't, and the one who isn't has the opening and the other two don't, you cannot tell the patient, oh, well, you know, we have two out of three and you'll have to wait for a vaccinated one, but I have somebody who's unvaccinated and would you like to schedule with Carol? You know, that you can't say, you can't divulge that. Now let's step into the patient, you know, doctor relationship, the human element to this, right? Somebody might be taking care of an elderly person or somebody who's compromised, or they themselves are compromised, and it's a legitimate request. It's for their own health reasons. I don't think they're trying to be judgmental. I think it's just a honest to goodness health safety question. So the office has to come to agreement that now if everybody's on the team that's vaccinated and everybody's comfortable in disclosing that to patients, then you're in the clear. You can certainly respond with a honest answer of yes, Sally is vaccinated. But if you know that some are and some aren't, and maybe you don't know who's who, then you have to have a practice response that will honor the patient. And what I mean by that, and honor your team members. And what I mean by that is, you know, Mrs. Jones, I certainly understand, you know, your desire to want to make good choices for your own health and safety. And I can assure you, Dr. Awesome and our team have taken extraordinary steps in keeping everyone safe. So what I can tell you is that, you know, everybody here in our office has gone through extraordinary steps to prevent the transmission, you know, care for our patients. And we want to make sure that you're comfortable. And if you choose to delay your treatment for whatever reason, then that's your choice. But I want you to know that while I can't disclose our anyone's medical history, what I can tell you is that we've taken extraordinary steps to keep everyone safe.
I love that. You are abiding by the number one rule is you never tell anybody what you can't do. You only can tell them what you are so good at this. and it is a sticky issue. Now, let me go a little bit deeper because, again, I don't know the answer to this because I've received questions on this. What if I'm a dentist and my state is requiring me and my employees? What do I, like, how do I manage that? Any advice you'd give me on, let's say I'm a, I'm not familiar to which states, but I know this is a strong topic in dentistry. If the state's requiring me to do this and my employee, what do I do with that? What advice or, and again, we're not legal experts, but what guidelines would you give me?
Well, again, the doctor has to make that choice, right? They have to decide, are they going to follow through with it? And I'm not here, again, to judge anybody. I'm, again, not a legal advice. If you have team members who can get a bona fide religious exemption or a medical condition exemption, of course, that would be one thing if the state is mandating it. The other thing is if you choose to not get the vaccine, and that is something that the state is requiring of all healthcare personnel, then the employee has the choice of resigning. You know, if they stay, that they would have to follow the mandate. If they choose not to, then, you know, they would have to, unfortunately, make a different choice. However, you know, I don't know if anybody is coming by dental practices and checking everybody's vaccination records. What I can tell you is I've heard that there are some health departments that in those states that are requiring it to have some kind of documentation. They've given a deadline and the employers have to submit by then. For the most part, I think their attention is on the larger healthcare hospitals, ambulatory centers, that kind of thing. But you know, there's probably going to come a point in those states that require it for all healthcare personnel that there will have to be some kind of proof. Now, again, you know, the words echoing in my brain from my 18-year-old daughter is, "You're not the boss of me. You can't tell me what to do now, right?" So, whether or not, you know, the dentist chooses to follow it or not follow it, again, is a personal choice.
Yeah. I think, you know, you're highlighting everything that's so important. Is number one, like, these people are important. They are critical to a dental practice. And we've just got to think a little bit better to find out why, how this formula is going to work. Do you have any, I wasn't going to ask you this, but like, do you have any story? I always love to hear good stories, not all the bad stuff, because we certainly don't want to prove provoking. But you get to hear a lot of things. Is there anything you've heard in the last couple of months? You're like, that's pretty cool what that dentist did. Just something that comes to mind as somebody thinking outside of the box when it comes to hiring a new person. Anything come to mind? Don't feel like you're on the spot, but.
Nothing really jumps out at me, though I know that there have been some great hires based on restaurants. Somebody would go to a local restaurant and yeah, they were short-staffed and this person was just extraordinary in her service. And so she did have some dental background, not a lot. She had pursued it, then stopped pursuing it. And here she was, a waitress. And this dental team member said, "Wow, I think you'd be great on our team." And, you know, they made a successful hire from that. But that's only one. I don't know if that's extraordinary or cool, but I think it's kind of neat that people are paying attention, even team members. It doesn't have to be the dentist, that yeah. They're paying attention to say, "Hey, I think I'd like to work with you."
Yeah.
I also had interviewed a candidate who had zero dental experience, and she was in a position where her employer, she worked for a larger institution, was requiring it. And she's like, I'm not ready to do that. And so she says, "I sat down one night and thought, where do I go that I enjoy going? And where do I, you know, find that I enjoy the people, interacting with the people?" And she came up with three places. Her dentist practice was one of those. And so we were in talks about creating a hybrid position for her to really tap into her strengths and teach her to dentistry. They actually had the resources to teach. Ultimately, she chose to go somewhere else. But the idea that her dentist was on the top three of places she enjoyed going and enjoyed you know, interacting with the people, she says, "I could really see myself being a part of the team."
Yeah, it's so funny you say that too, because those are the stories that I hear, because I don't really hear a lot of creative structuring or things like this. So we have a dentist who's like, "I just found a brand new," who is just considering another career. And I'm thinking, well, she didn't have any experience, but man, she was a perfect fit. Now, I think on the other side, what you're bringing up is a really important thing. I just spoke to somebody this morning and they said, you know, that's the golden opportunity here, is that there are a lot of talented people out there that don't love their industry. They don't enjoy where they're working. So it's not so much about money. It's about a place where they feel a little bit better. They feel like they can contribute. Core values are alive. And they're just kind of beat down with where they're at. So I think being on the lookout. And then I asked the guy, I go, like, "Do you find these people from Indeed?" He goes, "Never. I always find them elsewhere. I find them from a friend or from a," and you know this, if you're a dentist, there isn't a single dentist listening to this podcast goes, "Yeah, Indeed's been killing it for me for years." No, your favorite people come from people you know, experiences you have, people you meet, you know. And I was telling the story about an orthodontist that lived in our town, 26 team members. Whenever I go have coffee with him, he would say, like, to somebody behind the counter, "Hey, have you ever considered a career in dentistry?" And they'd go, "No." And he'd go, "Here's one of my cards. If you ever think about, you know, changing career, you'd be great in my office." And he would say to me, not everybody takes me up on that, but like every once in a while people do, and it lends right. itself to creativity. So I would say backing your truck up to Indeed and just opening, hoping it's going to get filled. That's probably not the best plan for any of us, we are going to all have to think outside of the box. Now, another question I had for you is just what are some of the biggest pitfalls you see dentists making, right? Like, you're just like, no, don't do that. I mean, mistakes that you see consistently, week over week, like, oh, there it is again. Don't do that.
I would probably say, now I will say, I'm going to throw this out here. Indeed has actually been a tremendous resource for me, for people who actually are qualified and show up. I think what a lot of, you know, we're finding too, when we interview is, people just don't show up. They don't show up to their phone interview. They don't show up to their video interview. They don't show up to their in-person interview. And by the time you think you'd get to the in-person, right, it's a pretty good chance that they might be a good candidate, and yeah, they just ghost us. You know, I don't get it. But that's not just dentistry. That's everywhere. I have conversations with friends of mine in the medical industry and the manufacturing industry, and yeah, it's all over. But as far as thinking outside the box and what I think doctors do the most of, and I try to get them to not do that, is don't hire the first person.
What are you saying? Like, I met her one time. She had a great smile. She was dressed really nice.
Right. It was a good day. And one person spoke to this person and they're hired on the spot. And while I understand the shortage and it's so easy to pull the trigger, if you find somebody and you do discover that, yeah, this person is great or could potentially be great, give them a conditional offer and say, you know, I'd love for you to join my team. And while we're figuring out your start date, we're going to check references. And, you know, we want to set you up for success. And, you know, we're going to put some things in motion. But we definitely want to make sure that you're just not pulling the trigger because you're frustrated or you're tired and exhausted of waiting for somebody. You know, right now it's truly hold the line. Stay true to your recruitment process and don't shortcut it, because as you well know, Kirk, you know, you bring somebody on and then they stay on, and dentists are terrible people at letting people go, even when they should, because they're good people and they want to make sure, you know, they give everybody an opportunity to correct themselves. And slow to hire, quick to fire.
Yeah, you're explaining me. I'm a wuss, so I screw it up all the time. So go back to conditional start date. So I've never heard that term. So what, explain the ins and outs. What specifically does that mean?
Sure. So when you offer someone a position, say, I think, you know, they've gone through the phone, they've gone through the video, they've come in, maybe they've even done a working interview, and you want to make the offer, you still need time, right? Especially if they're employed, to check with their current employer, but you don't want to tell them, you know, ask the current employer if they haven't resigned yet. So you don't want to put anybody in a bad position. But the conditions are, you know, the background check, and checking references, and provided those are satisfactorily completed, and we don't get any bad information back, then, you know, the start date should be at least a week out to give you time to do all that and to get all the background checks done. It's just a condition that you could rescind the job offer if you get an adverse response from an employer or the background check.
Okay, this is a term that gets thrown around a lot in dentistry, working interview. So like, explain what that means. Like, can dentists like hire somebody on a probationary period? Is it dependent on state? Like, just help us with the ins and outs of the legal aspects of working interview or probationary period.
You got it. This is a down and dirty version. So you've got, by the very term, working interview implies that, okay, you have somebody who has clinical skills and you want to check them out, right? You're kicking the tires. You want to see if they're going to fit into your practice. So you bring them in for a couple of hours. They work on patients. They're doing productive work, which by law means they have to be compensated. So when you do a true working interview and somebody is actually working on patients in your practice, then they do need to be compensated. And you usually have them sign off on a letter that basically says, this is part of our interviewing process. This by no means is an offer of employment, because you might have two or three people you're evaluating. So you want to make sure that you're not making any promises, but that they understand this is a working interview for you to evaluate their skills and they will be compensated for it. Some states do say that you for a working interview, we have to give them a check right then and there at the end of their working interview with the appropriate taxes taken out. Other states say, you know, at the next payday, as long as the person knows when that will be. So make sure you understand what your state's working interview requirements are. And if there are none, err on the side of handing a check to that person at the end of that interview. Now, a skills assessment, let's say you just want somebody to come in and shadow and just kind of get a feel for the office to make sure that this is still a good fit. That's a skills assessment. So you can give them written tests, grammar tests. If it's a front office position, have them answer a mock phone call. What's most important to understand is that in a skills assessment, you do not want them doing any work in your practice that would be considered productive or on any patients or actually answering the practice telephone. So you just do mock scenarios, you have interviews with other people, they can shadow that person and see how things are done, but they don't do any productive work. And that's typically only a couple of hours anyway. That is not compensated. You thank them for their time after you're done and let them know when you'll be in contact with your choice. So that's the big distinction between working interview and a skills assessment or in-person interview, which is not compensated.
That is so good. And I just love listening to you talk, you know, and maybe one of the next podcasts we'll do will be at will and just all the nuances of how all that works. Oh my gosh, there's so many details. I also want to do a future podcast on the hours thing because each state has different laws on what you're supposed to provide for lunch and all that. And what we're just trying to say is this, you got to know all this information. You just can't go in blind. And that's what, unfortunately, dentists, they're good hearted. They want to do the right thing and just not crossing your T's or dotting your I's is a challenge. And so any last thoughts that you have on just thinking outside of the box, Robin, when it comes to employment?
Well, you know, having an employee manual, we talked about this earlier, is so, so key. If that is one thing you can ask Santa or what you can put on your New Year's resolution list is you need an employee manual. And if you have one, have it at least looked at and updated to make sure. There are so many laws that have changed. We are now, Ben Erickson is going to be sending out even more that are going to be effective January 1. Make sure that you know that whatever you're providing for your team members is appropriate for your state. But also, you know, you're really great dentists at doing the dentistry, and employment law really should be left to the experts. And experts like Ben Erickson, where we have a personalized manual, you get a personalization specialist who works with you hand in hand to make sure that you have your I's dotted and your T's crossed. And it really keeps everybody happy. We know when things are in writing, there's less chance of misunderstanding.
Yeah. And I was hoping you were going to introduce that or else I was just going to introduce it for you because as a dentist, I'm thinking, Robin, that's not really a good gift I want to give myself is sit down for the next couple of weeks and write all these employee manuals. And I'll just tell you, don't mess with the best. You know, it's an investment to get all these things done. It is worth its weight in gold. Everything will be super clear and compliant with your state laws. And you don't have the time to do that. You don't have the bandwidth to do it. Heck, I've seen some of your writing skills. They're not good. So make sure you've got somebody that can put that all together. And you guys also update it regularly too, right? With what's going
on. We do. Yeah, that it's kind of, you know, we become your virtual HR support where you don't even have to think about it. We're going to send you emails as things update and apply to your practice. And again, it's one of those things where it's not high on a lot of people's priority list. And they usually find, they find out the hard way. But it also is a gift not only to the dentist, but to the team too, to have things really clear and understood that there's no favoritism and people aren't being treated differently. And it helps with the hiring process. It helps in selling your practice too. So it's something to consider.
Yeah. So Robin, you are the best. And I really appreciate it. I have like 12 more questions. We could actually make this a 2-hour episode, but we're going to just split it up and do a second one. And I'll just say this to you guys, if you're listening, you know, hiring is hard. Here in the town that I live in, the Coca-Cola plant has a sign. I've never seen a sign like this. It says now hiring all positions. Never seen anything. I actually want to pull in one of these days and say, I want to be CEO. So you just see what they say. I think they'd say it. But like, it's not hard in dentistry. It's hard everywhere. And whether you own a restaurant or whatever. And so I tell everybody, look, nobody's got it easy. We can't wish it were easier. We just have to be better. And I think that is the future in dentistry. And Robin, you were making us better today. This insight and how we think outside of the box and hiring, I think it's critical. If you're a young dentist, keep in mind, you're going to be working for three more decades. Some of you, maybe four. And your greatest asset, I'll say it again, is not your billboard. It's not your technology. It's not your skills. It's not your location. It's these amazing people that make it happen every day. So make sure you figure out the formulas, how it all works, and give them a clear line of sight on how to succeed. Make sure you check out. Now, if you're listening too, I'm also going to leave Robin's information in the show notes. So you don't have to look any further. If you're listening on Spotify, Stitcher, whatever, just like flip up to the notes and you'll see all Robin's contact information. You'll see like Robin's the best. You can actually call Robin if you're just stressed and you're like, I need help with this. She is such a great person. She's not going to hard sell you on the phone unless she feels like you need to be hard sold. Then she's just going to tell you and say, look, you got to do this. So make sure you reach out to her, her great company. And just Robin, we just appreciate all that you do for us. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Kirk. I appreciate your time today.
You got it. All right. And thank you. Stick around. We'll say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor. Just hit the share button, share with your friends. This is so fun. I get to hang out with my friends and ask them the tough. See, these are tough questions. I hate these questions. I love it that you can answer these questions. So keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to see, not only from Robin, because when it comes to employment law, I'll get her on here and she can talk for hours about the ins and outs. We'll keep having her back again and again and again. Until we see you next time, keep watching Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.